Hi everyone, thank you so much for coming tonight. So tonight's the last shiur of our Tehillim shiurim, so I thought we would do the Tehillim Kuf Memhei, which is Ashrei, which we say every single day, three times a day. So I thought because it's something that we say so often, it's something that if we understand it, it could make our davening really meaningful. So hopefully we will get something out of it tonight. So Ashrei is really a central part of our Pesukei Dezimra. And Pesukei Dezimra is all about praising Hashem. So the whole Ashrei is all about praising Hashem and really, like, so which means that this Perek of Tehillim is a Mizmar Shevach, which is a Tehillim of praise, because we said every Tehillim has a different genre or style. So this one is praising Hashem. And it's the only time in davening where we're told where we have to have a specific kavana. We say patech et yadecha. You have to specifically have kavana for what you're saying in order for the tefillah to count. And so we say Ashrei three times a day, and we're told we're guaranteed Olam Haba, which we'll get to in a second. But the Beit Yosef says we actually have to contemplate this, that you're not just guaranteed a free ticket to Olam Haba, you actually have to contemplate what you're saying. And because this is our best praise of Hashem, and so it's really showing us our best connection to Hashem, that you can't just say empty words and be like praising Hashem, like, oh, Hashem, you're the best, and not mean it. You actually have to contemplate what you're talking about and what you're saying to Hashem for it to be meaningful praise. So we say Ashrei three times a day. We say it twice in Shacharis. We say it once before Shmona Esrei, like in Pesukei Dezimra, and once straight after Shmona Esrei in Uva Letzion. We say it once in Mincha. At the beginning of Mincha, we say Ashrei, Shmona Esrei, and then Aleinu. So the Maharsha tells us that that Ashrei is actually linked to Kedusha, the three times that we say Kedusha. So we say Kedusha after Shmona Esrei in Shacharis. Uva Letzion actually has a shortened version of Kedusha in it, that it's we say the phrases Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Hashem, and we say Baruch Hashem Kavod Amkom, and we say it's like a similar version of Kedusha. And so we're saying we're imitating the Malachim's praises to Hashem. We kind of take that, but we add our own tefillah to transform it into our human praising of Hashem. But we're basing it off the way the Malachim praise Hashem. And so that's why we say that's why we say Ashrei three times to go with the Malachim day. So in Bracha, Gemara Bracha Daf Dalad Amud Beis. We say that if we say this Mizmar three times a day, then we'll get Olam Haba. So like I asked before, how can you just be guaranteed Olam Haba for something that's like, if you just say it and you don't mean it, how can you just be guaranteed? And also, why this Mizmar? So first of all, how can it be guaranteed? The Chasam Sofer says that it's not guaranteed unless you actually mean it. So he brings a story that someone, a non-religious person, comes to him and says, aren't you afraid for the world to come? Like, what if you're not worthy? And he says, I'm not afraid, I say Ashrei. And he says, how does that guarantee you anything? And he said, like, a mashal of a boy who... he's in yeshiva and he's very poor, and so he sleeps, like in those days, the yeshiva boys slept wherever they could. And there was one boy who slept in a damp, cold room, and he had a cold. And so he went to the doctor, and he was very sick, and he went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him pills. So he kept taking these pills, but he stayed in this cold, damp room. And things weren't changing and he wasn't getting better. What he had to do was remove himself from this cold, dark room, from damp room, and then take the pills, and that way he'd be able to get better. And that's what Ashrei is. Ashrei is our pill. Ashrei is like, if we take the pill, we'll be able to connect to Hashem and be guaranteed Olam Haba, but we have to put ourselves in the right place in order for this pill to work. So by saying Ashrei with meaning, when we put ourselves in the right mind frame, when we concentrate on what we're saying, then we're given this pill by Hashem, this magic recipe to be able to get to Olam Haba. Then why this Perek of Tehillim specifically? So in the Gemara, going back to the Gemara, it says, you could think that we say this Perek of Tehillim, why do we say Ashrei is like the ultimate praise? Because it goes through from Aleph to Taf. If we look at Ashrei, it goes through all the letters of the Aleph base from Aleph to Taf. And so you could say then that's why it's the ultimate praise. It uses all the letters of the alphabet, of the Aleph base. But if we're saying that's the ultimate goal, to use all the letters of the Aleph base, then why isn't it Perek Kuf Yud Tes? Because Perek Kuf Yud Tes has every single letter of the Aleph base 8 times. It's the longest Perek of Tehillim, and it goes through each letter of the Aleph base, and there's like a little section on each letter. So if that's the ultimate goal, then why isn't Perek Yud Tes the ultimate praise of Hashem? So then we're saying, well, then maybe it could be that we have to praise Hashem, so why not Hallel? Why don't we say that Hallel is the ultimate praise of Hashem? And the answer is because Perek Kuf Mem Hei Ashrei has both of these aspects. It has the aspect of praising Hashem with every single letter of the Aleph Beis, but it also has the aspect of praising Hashem with words, with sentences and meaning. So we're using the letters and we're using the words that Hashem gave us, and we're praising Hashem with everything that we have, with the entire language that He gave us. And there's also a thing that Hallel is only to be said for something that's miraculous and out of the norm. So we don't want to be praising Hashem for something that's out of the norm every single day, otherwise it's not out of the norm anymore, it just becomes the norm. And that's why we save Hallel for something that is miraculous. And so the reason, if you look at Perek Kuf Mem Hei, it starts with Tehillel David, which is actually the third Pasuk of Ashrei. So just a slight introduction to what Ashrei is. So we start with Ashrei, which comes from Perek Pei Dalid, and it's really first we put our own introduction to the Perek, where we say Ashrei, which is like Ashrei is like praises Hashem. It's like another word for praise, where we're saying that we want to sit in the house of Hashem, and then we use another word of another Perek of Ashrei, which is actually the last pasuk from Perek Kuf Mem Dalet, the Perek before, which is Ashrei Ha'am Shekachala, Ashrei Ha'am Shelekelakab. So we're having that, which is the last pasuk where it talks about that Hashem gave us I'll get there tonight. Hashem gave us a bracha of just giving us like Ashrei Ha'am Shekachala, that Hashem made us His nation kacha, because He felt like it. And so we start Ashrei where we realize just how lucky we are that Hashem chose us, and Hashem gave us the mitzvah, and Hashem gave us the Torah kacha, because He felt like it. And so that's how we get into that feeling of praising Hashem. And then we start with Tehillel David. So what I want to do is, I want to first go through each of the psukim. So we'll go around, and after we read each pasuk, we'll say something small about it. And then afterwards, I want to go through and see actually how it's all, how there's different paragraphs and how there's different meanings to different sentences, and how in context. So we might go around and we'll do a pasuk, and then I'll explain it, and then we'll do another pasuk. Okay. So would you like to start, please?
Okay. So David, Arimcha Elokai Hamelech, Avarcha Shimcha Adonam Ba'et.
Cool, we'll do English as well.
So. Psalm of praise, David. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever.
Good, so it starts off where it begins with praising Hashem in a very general form. I will praise Hashem. And it says, I will bless your name forever and ever. What's that saying? That no matter what Hashem does, whether we feel like Hashem is doing good for us, or whether we feel like Hashem is doing bad for us, forever and ever we'll praise Hashem, because we realize it's all coming from Hashem. And that's what Avodah Zarah is. Avodah Zarah is when you only serve something that is pleasurable to you, that you only serve it when it gives you that feeling of pleasure back. And so we say in Ashrei that we're going to serve Hashem not with Avodah Zarah, but with like truth, that we'll serve Hashem, that will bless Hashem forever and ever, no matter what, no matter how we feel, no matter what Hashem does to us. Rachel?
Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever.
Okay, very good. So we're saying now every day I will praise Hashem, that every day is a new bracha, a new blessing for us, that every day we're given new opportunities, we're given new strengths, we're given strengths for that day that don't necessarily carry on to the next day, that every day Hashem gives us something new, so we're thanking Hashem that every day we wake up and we can do something different to the day before, and that we're not reliant on what happened the day before to get us through the next day, that Hashem can literally make miracles. And we just had Purim and we saw that the day before it was terrible, like before Esther went to Achashverosh it was terrible, and the next day it was amazing. And so we can see how Hashem can change your circumstances in a blink of an eye. And We also see that a bit in Mada'ani, where we say, Mada'ani lefonecha melech chai v'kayam, shechazarta b'nishmati b'chemla rabba emunatecha, that we're thanking Hashem for returning our soul to us, and we say that, rabba emunatecha, how great is your faith in us? And really, you'd think it would be rabba emunatenu, like how great is our faith in you, Hashem, like that you decided to give us our soul back, that is so nice of Hashem to give us another day in this world. Rather, we're saying the opposite, we're saying, Hashem's faith in us is great. And what does that mean? That every day Hashem gives our neshama back to us because he believes we're going to be able to do something great that day. And he has faith in us that we're not going to waste that day. And so we really have this obligation to make every day count because Hashem trusts us and Hashem is blessing us with a new day and a new beginning every single day, that we can change our circumstances, we can start again, we can do whatever we want with this new day. And we're going to come back at the end of the shiur with a really nice idea just to finish the series off with that that relates to this pasuk. Pasuk Gimel.
Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
Okay, so we say, the Ibn Ezra says that Hashem's praise is so great that we can't actually attempt to praise him fully. A mortal king, a human being, you can praise because they are limited and every human being does have a fault. So you can find the praise, like all the praises in a human being. But you can't fully praise Hashem because Hashem's goodness is infinite. And he's saying, Ein cheker, like it's unsearchable and there's no end to it. So Hashem is great. And we see this, and we're going to see this conflict throughout the Perek of Tehillim, where we really want to praise Hashem and tell Hashem how great he is, and yet we realize we can't praise Hashem and realize how great he is because we don't have that capability. And so we're going to see this struggle throughout the Perek of Tehillim to try and praise Hashem also without having that ability to be able to praise Hashem. And it says that there's no limit. In Chaker, there's no limit that the more we try and understand Hashem, the more we realize that we don't understand Hashem. And that's exactly what we're finding in science now, that the more we understand science, the more we understand how the world works, the more we realize that we don't understand how the world works. And there's so much more to science than we understand. And it's humbling to realize that the more I learn, the less I know. And that's what we're saying when we're praising Hashem and saying, Ein cheker, like there's no end to the greatness and the goodness of Hashem. And that's also why we can't praise Hashem because we're finite people, we can't praise Hashem's infinite being. And that's why we're such a religion of going off our ancestors. And every chag that we celebrate, which coming up to Pesach, we really see this, that every Yom Tov that we celebrate, we are remembering what happened to our ancestors and what Hashem did to our ancestors, because only that way can we realize how great Hashem is. And so we sit there and we have a whole Seder night remembering how Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in huge miracles and how Hashem gave us the Torah with huge miracles. And only then, by looking at what Hashem has done, not only for us but also for our ancestors, can we realize how great Hashem is. And so that's why we commemorate everything that's happened to us in the past, because only then can we try and fully appreciate the greatness of Hashem. And you pass okay? Sorry, darling.
One generation shall reward your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts.
Okay, well, so that's what I just said. I preempted it. So how we look to other generations to be able to understand Hashem. Do you want to read next one, please?
The glorious splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works will I rehearse.
Okay, so we're saying, covered, that it's like Hashem's glorious splendor, that it's wondrous, that we should, when we think about everything that Hashem does for us, we should be talking about it. When we meet other people, it shouldn't just be that we have idle chatter, but you should be so wowed by what Hashem does for us that this should be what we want to talk about and how we want to, like, that we want to share with other people all the amazing things that Hashem has done for us, because when we realize the glorious splendor of Hashem and the wondrous works that he does, then we'll want to praise him and we'll want to talk about him to other people. You want to read, please? When are you?
Ve'ezuz noratecha yomero ugdolata asafreina. And men shall speak of the might of your tremendous acts, and I will tell of your greatness.
Thank you. So we say that Hashem is awesome, and Nora, and we talk about this fear, that when Hashem shows us judgment, he gives us fear. But like, and we're scared of the day of judgment, but then when we think about tzaddikim, they don't actually, and it said v'tzidkat fayoneinu, that when we see Hashem's righteousness, that if tzaddikim don't actually fear Hashem's punishment and retribution, because they realize that it's not punishment and retribution, it's really Hashem doing something for the good. Hashem only does good, and he's doing it in a way that is trying to help us. So when we say we have this fear of punishment, it's really that we should try and understand that Hashem is trying to do something good for us. And the more righteous we are, the more we focus on that, the more we're able to understand it. And also if we see the word agdolatecha, sorry, is that? Yeah. And we'll tell of your great, agdolatecha, we'll tell of your greatness. This is referring to Hashem's chesed. And this is for another shir, but if we actually look at the beginning of Shemona Esrei, I'm having a really bad time. Thank you. Saying Max looking up by heart tonight. So I will stop trying and I will get Shemona Esrei up. And we say at the beginning, so Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Ve'Elokei Avoteinu. It's really beautiful word about the beginning of Shemona Esrei. And then we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Ve'Elokei Yaakov. So we go through the three forefathers, and then the next three words are comparing the attributes of the forefathers. So then it goes Hakel Hagadol, the greatness of Hashem, and this Gadol is compared to Avraham, who we know is Chesed, and then we have Gibor is comparing to Yitzchak, who we know was Gvura, and then Vahanara is like wondrousness, which we is compared to Yaakov, who was Tiferet. So when it talks about Ugdilatecha here, we're talking about Hashem's chesed and kindness to us. And and we'll speak of the might of Hashem and his tremendous acts, we're also going to talk about the chesed and the kindness that Hashem does for us. Do you want to read again, please?
Uh-huh. Zecher Rab Tzidcha Yabiyu, Tzidchatcha Yamehim. They shall utter the fame of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness.
So, thank you. Yabiyu means a wellspring. So
now I'm talking about they shall do it or something.
Yeah, very good.
We're saying, I will avarcheka.
Very, very good. So that's definitely what we're going to come back to in the thing, that it's changing between first person and third person, and we're definitely going to come back to that point. Very good of you to pick that up. So in this pasuk, we're talking about Yabiyo, which should utter the fame of Hashem's greatness. And Yabiyo can mean a wellspring. That Hashem's praise, we don't praise him sporadically, but it's like a wellspring. It's continuous and it's always sprouting forth, and it's not something that we should keep quiet about. That when someone does something good, you should actually share it, and it's something that should be that you should share with other people. And sorry, you've heard the story, but there's actually a story going around right now about someone who did a really good deed, which I'll tell you the story. But the point is that he didn't keep quiet about it. Like, even though you'd think, oh, like if you're humble, you'd keep quiet. He actually was willing to let the story be told, because he was saying that this is a way of praising Hashem, and so I should be willing to let Hashem's name be praised. And basically what happened was this man was a seller on Amazon, and he had iPads that he wanted to sell, and he looked around, and the going rate for selling iPads was $400. So he put it on Amazon, and he went to sleep, and the next morning he woke up and all the iPads had sold out, and he was shocked. He'd never had such a good selling product before, ever. And then he had this thought, he's like, I must have done something wrong. Like, there's no way that they just sold out so well. And he went to look, and he'd actually put the wrong price. Instead of putting $400, he'd put $40. He'd left out a zero. And now he didn't know what to do, because now he was like really upset, because on Amazon, the rules are that a seller is not allowed to cancel a transaction, because it'll look bad on Amazon and it'll look bad on them as a seller, and they have a blanket rule, you cannot cancel if you've sold an item. And he also realized now that not only is he not going to make a profit on them, but he's actually going to make this huge loss on them. And then he went and looked at his emails, and his name on Amazon was Y.L. Berdichev. He lives in Lakewood. And then there was and then the email he got was from Yehuda from Lakewood. And Yehuda from Lakewood messaged him and said, I'm also a seller on Amazon, and I saw that you put your iPads up, and I realized it must have been a mistake because I know the going rates for these things, and it doesn't happen like that. You don't sell an iPad for $40. And he said, I saw you're a Jew. Your name is Y.L. Berditchev, like Rabbi Levi, L.Y., Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. You must be a Jew. So I bought all the iPads so that now you can decide. Either I can buy them and then I can just give them back to you, or I can cancel the transaction, whatever works easiest for you. But he said he saved him because he saw it was another Jew and he wanted to save him. And yeah, it's a really nice story, and like Mika Amcha Yisrael, like how great we are that we'll just look out for each other as Am Yisrael. And again, this story went viral, and he didn't at first want to be known, and he didn't want to say who he was, but after a while he said, okay, I will let the story go around because it shows how great Hashem is. And then there was another similar story a few years ago of a rabbi who bought a desk off an old lady, and in the desk he found like almost $100,000. I think it was $94,000 or something, and she'd got it as an inheritance and she thought she'd lost it, and he gave it back to her. And it was big news because legally he didn't have to give it back to her, it was Hefka, but he chose to give it back. And again, it was this big viral news. And why? Because he said it's letting Hashem's name be praised, and so it's worth it. And so that's what we do. We have Yabiu. We should constantly be praising Hashem and finding ways to see the greatness of Hashem. Do you want to read, please?
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy.
Good. So does anyone recognize these words, where they come from? Yeah, so it's got five of the Yud Gimel Midat HaRachamim. And so what we're saying here is like we're seeing the greatness of Hashem in that he is gracious and full of compassion and slow to anger and great mercy. Like we're just borrowing from the 13 attributes of Hashem, of Hashem's mercy, and we're bringing it into Ashrei. That Hashem doesn't punish us the worth of our sins, but he's actually patient and he's kind, and he gives us a chance to do teshuvah. And that's what we're praising Hashem for here. The fact that he waits for us to be and gives us a chance to do teshuvah before punishing us completely. Do you want to read, please?
Yeah. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
Okay, so we're saying that Hashem is good to all, lakol. Hashem is good to every person. So what about people who don't deserve it? So that's like rain, like when you water a garden or when it's raining, the whole garden benefits. So the plants benefit, and that's what you want. But then also the weeds benefit, and the weeds can also grow from the planting. And that's not what you want, but it's just a byproduct of watering your garden. But then if we look at the end of the pasuk, it says, Tov Hashem, sorry. Oh no, it's not the end of the pasuk, but we also learn somewhere else that Tov Hashem the Krovav, that Hashem is good to those who come close to him. And so we're saying, and that's like the pruning and the removing of the weeds, and when that's when you're only left with the good. So yes, Hashem is good to everybody, but Hashem is also good to those who come close to him, because that's who is worthy of Hashem's goodness. And so it's not that you get extra goodness, but maybe it's goodness that you can see, or goodness that is what you've asked for that Hashem is able to give you. And then we say Varachamav al Komasav, and that Hashem has mercy on all his beings. There's a story of a great Rav, I think it might have been, I don't want to say, I've got it here somewhere, but it was a great Rav, and he saw an animal who was scared to go to be shechted, to go to be slaughtered. And he told the animal, like, what are you scared about? This is why Hashem created you. This is your job, to be a korban. So don't be afraid, go do your job. And because he didn't have compassion for this animal, that yes, this animal knew it was his job, but he was still afraid to be slaughtered, he ended up suffering for 13 years with a terrible toothache. And then one day after 13 years, he saw his maid who was sweeping the floor, and she was trying to sweep out a weasel from the house. And he told her, like, leave it, like, have mercy on the weasel. And because he said, because I didn't have mercy, this is what happened to me. And he was able to do a tikkun, like, to fix his act by showing mercy to the weasel. And it's very interesting that we don't actually say Shehechiyanu the first time someone does shchita, because we have to remember to be merciful. So it's not something that has like a big celebration of Shehechiyanu. And also we don't say the bracha of Shehechiyanu on tefillin, because it's because the first time you put when you make tefillin, because it's leather and it's an animal, and so the Torah is being sensitive to these animals, and so should we try and be sensitive to these animals.
All the works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you.
Thank you. So we're basically saying that all Hashem's works shall praise him, that every animal in their own language is able to praise Hashem. So even though we don't understand it, every animal's sound, every animal's sound is really a way of praising Hashem. That's their way of doing it. So we have our way with speech because we're human beings, and every animal has their way. And then v'chassidecha, that you should become, and your saints shall bless you. Who are the chassidim? Who's a chassid? A chassid is someone who is even more careful in following the Torah. And here it's specifically talking about someone who's more careful in their bracha and like saying their blessings. And in Gemara Brachot it says that we have all these brachot that we're given, like a bracha on a rainbow, on trees, on thunder, on seeing a king. All these random brachot that we could say all the time. And we have a chassid is someone who searches them out, who actually looks to be able to make these brachot. And also, another interpretation is that a chassid is a kohen, because according to Kabbalah, kohen comes from Chesed, and they're able to bless Bnei Yisrael. And so that's why Chassidecha is someone who has that, like they're closer to Hashem in that they're able to do in a way what Hashem does, and they're able to bless Bnei Yisrael also. Where are we up to?
Yeah,
sure.
Now you said that it was like all the animals have their own languages. You know, people say like you don't have to always dub in Hebrew.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Like Hashem made 70 languages, and yeah, definitely, that's really nice. Where is it again? That.
Kavod Malchutcha Yomeru Voratecha Yiraberu. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your might.
Cool. So Malchus is referring to Hashem's teva, like the natural way of Hashem being. And then Gvoratech, and like that's what you should say it. So you just say it in a short way, like we praise Hashem for the Teva. And then we have Gvoratecha, Hashem's might. That's the supernatural. And that's Yidaberu, that you should talk about it. So we have two different words for describing Hashem's greatness. So Malchutcha and Gvoratecha. And we have two different verbs of Yameru and Yidaberu. And Yomeru is you just speak about it in a short way, we talk about Hashem, and then Yidaberu is that you should spend time talking about it, spend time talking about Hashem's might, and that, again, is Pesach, where we talk about Hashem, and because it's this that spreads Hashem's greatness. When we spread about how mighty Hashem is and how Hashem is different to a finite human being, that's when we spread the greatness of Hashem.
I'm telling you, why do we have to spend more time speaking about the supernatural versus just like the nature. Why is that emphasized as something we have to speak about more and invest more time in that as opposed to just the nature?
So I think when it's natural, then we could say like, oh well, like Queen Elizabeth does that also. So like you could, like if you talk about the natural things that a king, like that Hashem does as a king, then like that's just how the world works, or that's just like that's how the world was made. Whereas when you talk about the supernatural, then you're describing Hashem as being something that no one else can be. And so that's why if we emphasize that, then you're emphasizing the greatness of Hashem beyond what anyone else could be.
So
and
when
that's
you're
what makes
saying
him great.
Like the natural stuff is like something that a king would normally do, or not, is that what you mean?
A king, or just how the world generally runs? Like
so nature, like the laws of nature, is that part of it?
Yes. Science. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, science, or just, yeah, like normal day-to-day life. On the other hand, there are other places that say we should be praising Hashem for day-to-day life because that's what we see every single day,
yeah.
And that's,
it'd
yeah.
It'd be easier to take that for granted and not see God in that, and very easy, like the supernatural.
One of my favorite Pirkei Avot is that, I don't know in Hebrew off by heart, but it says that if you're studying Torah and you're walking in a field and you look up and you see like, oh, how great the world is, it's so stunning, then you've disrupted your Torah learning and you're worthy of death. And the question is, like, how could you, like, you've done nothing wrong. How could this be worthy of death? And what they're saying is if someone is learning Torah And then they look up and they praise the world for being beautiful without connecting that to being part of Hashem's world, then they're worthy of death because they've disconnected nature from Hashem. Whereas when you're learning Torah and you look up, you should see, wow, this is Hashem's world. And then that's still part of your learning Torah, that your learning Torah doesn't have to be just from a book all the time, and your connection to Hashem doesn't just have to be through learning Torah, but it should be through looking up into the world and saying, Mara b'masecha Hashem, how great is this world that Hashem created? And that's when you've really understood the Torah that you're learning. I think that's like an amazing pirgava. So kind of connected to what you're saying, that like it's really important like to notice Hashem in the natural, because if you just look at the supernatural, then you're like, you're not seeing Hashem in like real situations and real life.
Which is
so
contrary, like that's sort of reversing.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like important for both. We have times where we have to do Pesach. We have Pesach night where we're supposed to just talk about the wonders of Hashem.
Yeah.
And then we have times where we're supposed to, on a Monday, the 22nd of January, just talk about our day-to-day thanking of Hashem kind of thing. Like, but yeah, it's a very good point. Like, a lot of times these things have the opposite also. And it comes like that there's certain time periods where, like, something is more pertinent than another. But yeah, very cool. Okay, Pasuk Mem. Pardon? Sorry, Pasuk Lamed. Sorry, yes, I meant letter Mem. But yeah, but... Pasuk Yud Bes, letter Lamed.
To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of his kingdom.
Okay, cool. Again, we already spoke about that just before. Do you want to... Pasuk Yud Gimel?
Your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures throughout all generations.
Okay, so we see that just throughout history that B'nai Yisrael are an anomaly. The fact that we still exist and we've outlived every other kingdom, that Hashem's kingdom is the one that lives forever, and only Hashem's kingdom has outlasted every other one. And that's again comparing the Teva and the miracles, that it's all miracles that happen are temporary, but then when we see it as a whole, we're an overall miracle that we're still existing today. Okay, so then if we look, there's actually between Pasuk Yud Gimel and Pasuk Yud Dalet, it goes from Mem to Samach, that there's actually no Nun. So I want to talk about that at the end, but just something to keep in mind. Actually, we'll talk about it now, but then we'll go back to the end. So why is there no Nun? The word Nun stands for Nafal, for falling. And so we don't want to refer to our failures in a time that we're praising Hashem. And if we look, there's a pasuk that says, "Hein am levadad yishkan," that we are a nation, or they are a nation, referring to the Jewish people, who stand alone. And if we look at the word hein, hey and nun, both of these are letters that are isolated in the aleph bais, or numbers that are isolated. That if you were to match up every number, you have tes and aleph, which is 9 and 1, which equal 10. Then you have ches and bet, or really bet and chet, and you that equals 2 and 8, which equals 10. Then you have gimel and zayin equals 10, 3 and 7, 4 and 6, dalid and vav equal 10, and then you have hey, which is isolated. And if you do the math again with the zeros and make it 50 to 100, then nun is also an isolated letter. And so we're saying that in general, anything that stands alone is something that falls. That all other nations, they make alliances and they need help from their neighbors, and they have to make special like military alliances and make sure that they've got support from their neighbors. Whereas for us, Hein am levadad yishkan, we work best when we work alone. Why? Because we should be relying on Hashem. We shouldn't be relying on all these other nations to help us. We should, and to like to make alliances with other nations. Really, we should just be turning to Hashem to save us and to protect us. And that's why Nun is like, we fall when we don't rely on Hashem. When we rely on other nations, that's when we fall over. But then we go to Samech. Okay, great. So even though, like, we don't want to mention Nafal on its own, but we do acknowledge it. Sameich Naflim, Hashem rises up the people who have fallen. So we're saying it in a positive way, that even if we have fallen, we're not in denial. We're human beings and we do fall. We have that ability to rise up and to make it positive again. So we're going to get back to that later. Ayin? Okay, amazing. So we're saying Natan, Hashem gives us. If you think about every other king takes. Every other king takes tax from his people. But Hashem is our king. He's giving to us. And not only that, Be'itah, it's singular, it's personal, that Hashem gives each person individually what he needs. That Hashem looks at each individual and says, what does that person need? And that's how Hashem is our king, gives to each individual person. We'll go on to Pei.
You open us your hand and satisfy us every living thing with favor.
Amazing. So we're saying that not only... So this pasuk is the pasuk that we have to concentrate on when we're saying Shemoneh Esrei. And there's an amazing teacher in America. Her name's Chevi Garfinkel. She's so loved by her students that when I was in seminary, her students fundraised to bring her to Israel to give them a shiur in Israel because they missed her so much from school.
Wow.
And so I was very privileged to be able to go to that shiur in Israel. And one thing that she was saying is that her, like, one of her life mottos is Patech et yadecha maspelecha charatzon, that Hashem gives you exactly what you need. And her, like, mantra is, you don't get what you deserve, you get what you need to serve. And that Patech et yadecha, when Hashem gives us everything that we need, it's, you don't get what you deserve, you don't get everything you ask for, everything you think that you want and that's what's good for you, you get what you need to serve. Hashem gives you exactly what you need and what he knows you need in order to be able to serve him to the best of your ability. And that's something that's always stuck with me, and that, like, I think about every time I say Ashrei to try and make that pasuk meaningful to me, that you don't get what you deserve, you get what you need to serve. And it's also, but not only that, but umaspia l'chol charatzon, like Hashem gives us umaspia, which is say Hashem satiates us, like that's for like filling us up if we're hungry. But not only that, that's what we need, but l'chol charatzon, we also get what we desire, what we want. And that's what we're davening for, that Hashem, that our desires match up with what we need, so that we can appreciate, so that we can feel like we're getting what we need. Tzadik.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways and gracious in all his works.
Cool. So when we see other people, we see people with things that we don't have, and we kind of wish that we had those things, or we question why certain things happen to us, we have to stand back and we say, Tzadik Hashem b'chol drachav. Hashem is righteous in everything that he does. And by acknowledging that Hashem knows what he's doing, we're taking that, we can relax, and that we're taking that responsibility out of our hands, that it's not up to us to know exactly what we should be getting from Hashem, but Tzadik Hashem b'chol drachav. Like, Hashem knows what he's doing, and Hashem, we just have to, like, have faith in Hashem that Hashem knows what he's doing for us.
The Lord is close to all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth.
Amazing. So we're saying, like, that it has to be with truth. So we have to have meaning behind our prayers. We shouldn't just be asking for items and saying, Hashem, I want this, Hashem, I need this, Hashem, give me this. We really should be, davening to get close to Hashem, to see the MS, to see the truth in every, like, in all our ways, and to see the truth in this world and connecting to Hashem, so that we can feel connected and not only be davening for the physical things that we need, but also for the spiritual things that we need. And like a foundation stone of being able to live according to Hashem's way is to live according to MS, which is Torah, and to be able to live according to what Hashem wants from us and not just what we think we want from us. Then Reish, which is your test.
He'll fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them.
Amazing. So we're saying that Hashem fulfills the wills of our own creation. So the Maggid of Mezrich says that sometimes we daven for things that aren't good for us. And so what we're davening for here is that we actually daven for things that are good for us. Because if our davening is powerful enough, then Hashem will give us what we ask for, even if it's not good for us. And so we're asking Hashem to give us the seichel, the mind, to daven for the right things. And Rabbi Yaakov, I'm not sure who that is, says that Hashem asks us to have Yira, and then he answers our tefillot. So what's Yira? Yira can stand for Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Elul, and Hoshana Rabbah. That if we spend those 4 days asking for the things we need, then and we daven with the right kavana, then our tefillot will be answered. And then Shin, nearly finished.
Shomer Hashem et kol avavit, kol Hashem yashmid. The Lord preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
Okay, so it could be that Hashem just protects us by protecting us, like, as in, that would be in a way that it would just be Yira, that Hashem protects us just because, like that he protects those who love him. So it's kind of like tit for tat, like, if you love me and you serve me, then I'll protect you. But then it goes on and says, but all the wicked I will destroy. That's separate to us. That's without, it doesn't matter if we're good or we're bad, Hashem will destroy the Rishayim so they can't attack us. That's Ahava, that's love. That's completely independent of our character and our behavior, that Hashem will protect us. And tough. Amazing. And so that's just like us saying that for the future, that we're going to continue to praise Hashem forever. So now I want to look a bit at a general overview of this Perek of Tehillim. So in the Da'at Mikra, it says that very often we see the word in this Perek of Tehillim, Yivarechecha, and we see it throughout, that at the beginning it starts off with, I will bless Hashem. And every single day, if we look, like Michelle pointed out, that it's Avarchaka, I will praise Hashem. So Pasuk Aleph and Beis. Then it moves on in Pasuk Yud, and it says, V'chasidecha Yivarchucha, that your righteous people will praise you. And then in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it goes on and it says, Vivarach kol basar, that everyone will praise you. So it goes from this individual praise of Hashem, where it's just like an individual thing between you and Hashem. Then it goes further to being the righteous people and people who recognize Hashem. And eventually what we're hoping to get out of constantly praising Hashem and bringing Hashem into this world is that kol basar, everybody will be able to praise Hashem because everyone will recognize and be able to bless Hashem. And Professor Hadari, who's a YU professor, he says that these repeating words really define sections for us. So if we look at each section, there's actually repeating words. So in Pasukim, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, and Vav, we see a repeating word of Gadol, which we see in Gimel, Gadol Hashem, Olam Ma'od, V'ligdolatcha. Then we see in Pasuk Vav, so this is a section, it's like a bookmark. And this section is talking about the power of Hashem. It's talking about Kavod and Hadar and Gvura, that it's all about Hashem's power and his greatness. And that every generation has to be taught about how great Hashem, about how powerful Hashem is. Then we have in Zayin to Tess, the repeating word is Tov. So Zecher Tov Chayabiyu, and then in Pasuk Tes, bookmark, Tov Hashem Lakol, Hashem is good to all his deeds. So this is relating to us, that we see what Hashem, the goodness and the chesed that Hashem does to us. And we said, like before, that it's a paraphrasing of the Yud Gimel Midah HaRachamim. Then Yud Aleph to Yud Gimel is, the repeating word is Malchus. So Kavod Malchuscha, that Hashem's kingship, Uchvar Hadar Malchusa, and Malchuska Malchus Kalalamim. We see the word Malchus coming up again and again. And these letters actually are the first letters, which the letters of the Aleph base, actually Chaf, Lamed, and Mem, which spell Melech. And so this is also connected to our first section of Gadol Greatness, where we see Hashem as, like, when we see Hashem as kingship, and we refer to Hashem's greatness as a king, that's like Hashem's power. Does that make sense? So we've got like the first section and the third section are kind of connected. Then we have in Yud Dalet Tachaf, the repeating word is Kol. So Samech Hashem L'Kol Naflim Enei Kol Elecha Umasbiya L'Kol Chayratzon Tzadik Hashem B'Kol Drachav Karav Hashem L'Kol Karav Ve'et Kol Harisha'im Yashmin. And then Vivarech Kol Basar. So the last section is that Hashem is all good all the time to all people. That's the message that we get out of it. And so this again connects to the second section of Tov, of goodness, that Hashem is good all the time and it's on a personal level also. And so if we look at these two sections, these are the two ways that we relate to Hashem. It's the tension between these two emotions of Avinu Malkeinu. And if we look, just going back, the first and the third section are referring to Hashem in third person, where it's talking about Hashem as he's great, he's powerful. That's Melech, so Avinu Malkeinu. That's where we've referred to this concept before, where we refer to Hashem on a distant level because he's a king. You never address the queen directly. You never address Hashem directly as a king. But then we have that other section of Hashem, which is the goodness and that it's to everybody. And that's Avinu, that Hashem is our father and that we feel close to Hashem and we feel cared for. When we see Hashem's goodness to us on a personal level, that's when we feel that Hashem is our father. And we see that it's like one and three and two and four, that it's oscillating and it's between them. And we see this tension that we don't know how to relate to Hashem all the time, because sometimes we feel close to Hashem as a father and sometimes we feel distant, that we respect Hashem as a king. And that really represents our relationship with Hashem, that our relationship with Hashem is not simple. Sometimes we feel loved and cared for, and other times we feel like Hashem is judging us like a king. And it's showing us that that's okay, that our relationship with Hashem is complicated and we're allowed to oscillate between these two feelings. And Hashem, we really do have this relationship with Hashem of Avinu Malkeinu, that he's our father, our king. And Hashem can be close to us and caring, or he can be distant and powerful, but it's all still the one God. It's all still one Hashem who we're praising and who we're connected to. And that's when we get to Pateach Et Yadecha, that even when Hashem feels powerful and distant, Pateach Et Yadecha, he opens and himself, and he cares about little old me. And that's where we remember that Hashem talks to us. So this we saw is this Perek of Tehillim is an acrostic, so it goes Aleph Beis Gimel. So why? First of all, it's a good mnemonic to help us remember. So it's one to like tefillah that a lot of us know off by heart, because after a while, like, you sing it and you can really remember because it goes Aleph Beis. And it's also all-encompassing, where we're seeing Hashem through every single letter. So then again, going back to why is the Nun missing? In Bracha, again, same section, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, it says that there's a depressing pasuk in Amos that Bnei Israel will fall and not rise up again, and that's Nafal. And that's why we would skip out the Nun, because we don't want to include this prophecy of falling and never getting up again. So we have three questions on this. First of all, every letter has a bad word and a good word. So Nun also has good words like Nifla'ot and like wonders that Hashem does for us. So why are we just focusing on this one bad word that comes from the letter Nun and forgetting everything else? And then we have other mizmorim that are aleph to taf, and we include nun. So why is this one any different? That in this one you can't include nun, but in every other one you can. And our third question is that Amos came after David. So what? How does David even like know that Amos is going to say this prophecy when he writes this Perek of Tehillim? And so we tried David. Again, so we answer this by saying that David does acknowledge the bad, but he tries to couch it in Samech Naflim, in that we get back up again, that we do fall, and he acknowledges that we'll fall, but we won't fall anymore, and we're going to get back up again. And that the focus, he takes the focus off falling, and he takes that focus off that permanent falling that Amos is talking about, and he says, yes, we will fall, but we won't continue to fall, and we're going to be able to get back up again. And so, with Hashem's help, and is effectively trying to like preempt changing the prophecy in a way that, yes, we'll fall, but we're not going to fall and not be able to get back up, but we will have Hashem's help, and we will be able to get back up again. And so, why do we leave out the letter Nun then? If we have an answer and there are other questions, and there are other Perikatilim who do. So, Professor Hadari again says it's a literary technique that We're going Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and then we get to Nun, and suddenly we're like, hey, there's no Nun. It makes us stop. It makes us pause. And what we're doing is it's trying to make us stop and have to think and have to concentrate and focus and realize this is the climax. So once you have to stop and think about what we're saying, then we're pausing before this final section where we're realizing that this last section is the climax of the Mizmor, where we're seeing that Hashem uses his greatness to do things good for us. And Ashrei Yoshveh, how fortunate are we that Hashem uses his greatness, he uses his power, he uses his goodness to give us and to give our lives meaning and to give us good things. And Ashrei Yoshveh, how fortunate are we that we are the chosen people of Hashem and that Hashem chose us to shower us with his goodness and his greatness. So that is the Perek of Tehillim. And I wanted to finish with a poem that has to do with B'chol Yom Avarchecha, that every day is a new day. So it's an anonymous thing. They don't have they don't know who the author is, but it's realizing the value of time. So imagine there is a bank which credits your account each morning with $86,400. It carries over no balance from day to day, allows you to keep no cash balance, and every evening cancels whatever part of the amount you had failed to use during the day. What would you do? Draw out every cent, of course. Well, everyone has such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it writes off as lost whatever of this you have failed to invest to good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day it opens a new account for you. Each night it burns the records of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against the tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits. Invest it so as to get the most from the utmost in health, happiness, and success. The clock is running. Make the most of your day. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who has failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the lovers who are waiting to meet. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who missed the train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who just avoided an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who won a silver medal in the Olympics. Treasure every moment that you have, and treasure it more because you shared it with someone special, special enough to spend your time. And remember, time waits for no one. Yesterday's history, tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift, that's why it's called the present.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was just something I wanted to end with. So thank you so much for coming. And